Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamid Hey. We're learning today's shir Le'ili Nishmas Sarah Schwartz, Sarah Yehudis Bas Yosef. All the Nishamas we learned for should have an Aliyah. And we pick up already a quarter of the way down by the two dots, about 15, 20 lines down, where the words Omamar. Omamar always means that we're going to requote a discussion that we had in part. So the Gemara tells us, Omamar, V'lo Sofek Doches HaShabbos. We said that a Sofek, in the Brisa that we brought down yesterday, we said that a Sofek is not Doche Shabbos if you're not sure to do the Bris Milah. So what is exactly this talking about? If you're not sure, is the Bris Milah able to be done? So it's not Doche Shabbos. Lasu Yimai. What type of a case are we talking about? What suffix are we not sure that you have to do a Bris Milah or not? So Gemara says, Lasu Yehoda Tana Rabbanan. It comes to include that which you learned in another Braisa, where it says, we discussed this already a little bit yesterday, Ben Shiva Mechalim Ovis HaShabbos. If a child in those times was born in the 7th or 9th month, they were considered a viable child. They basically understood, and maybe that's the way that it was then, that there were two types of pregnancies. There was a normal 7th month pregnancy, not premature, but the baby matured in 7 months, and then there was the normal 9 month pregnancy. But some babies had a 7 month pregnancy, and some babies had a 9 month pregnancy. So the 7 months were viable because that was a 7 month pregnancy. But if it was an 8 month pregnancy, so then it wasn't considered viable because it obviously wasn't a 7 month pregnancy, and it was premature for the 9 month pregnancy, and it wasn't considered viable, at least in the times of the Gemara. So therefore, the Gemara tells us, if you have a suffix over here, the baby's born, you're not sure, Ben Shiva, it's a 7 month pregnancy, and therefore it's a full term 7 month pregnancy, and Mechalim of Shabbos, and therefore it's like a regular baby that's born. And if the baby's in any distress, Shemchal Shabbos. It's a regular case of Pikuach Nefashos is Docha Shabbos. That's if it's a viable baby, i.e. a 7 month pregnancy baby. So then if it's born, so then you're Mechal Shabbos for it. However, if it was an 8 month baby, in other words, it wasn't viable in those days. Tosus already points out at the bottom in Ben Shmona, so he says, Nira Leri, the Ashav Mutala Tato, call it Tinokosh She'enon Bekiim. Re already says in his time, almost 1,000 years ago, that the babies all are considered viable because they couldn't tell the difference between a 7, 8, or 9 month baby in terms of the prematurity. So therefore, all the babies are considered viable. Allah has kama v'kama today, where we, Baruch Hashem, most 7 month babies are able to survive. So therefore, certainly 8 month babies are surviving, and therefore we don't have this concept lahalocha l'maisa today. Then even at the times of Gemara they did. So the Gemara says a 7th month baby is considered a fully viable baby, but an 8 month baby is considered a non-viable baby, and therefore Ben Shmona ain't mechal on Shabbos. You're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for that baby. In other words, you really aren't allowed to move that baby. It is considered nebuch and nefel, and you're not allowed to do anything for that baby on Shabbos. It's not considered a viable person. It's not a question of pikuach nefashos. Gemara says, what happens if you have a suffix Ben Shiva, suffix Ben Shmona? You can't tell whether this baby is a 7 month baby and viable, or an 8 month baby and not viable. So in this situation, ain't mechal on Shabbos. The Braisa says we're not mechal Shabbos for this baby. Rashi says means we don't do a bris milah for this baby in this situation. Now, Eim Chalon Shabbos, why not? Ben Shmona, how are you Kevin? So the Braisa continues and says, because the 8 month pregnancy, as I said, is like an Evan. And Rashi points out, Hareyu Kemes, it's like a dead baby Nebuch. For also a tatlo, and a dead baby, you're not allowed to move. And that's why we would not do a bris milah on this Sofik if it's a 7 or 8 month baby. And certainly you wouldn't do a bris milah on an 8 month baby. Now, also a tatlo, the Braisa says. So what do you do for the baby if the mother needs to nurse? The mother is in pain. She needs to nurse. She needs to express the milk from her breast. So what do you do in this situation? Avol imo shoche. The mother's allowed to bend over, uminikaso, and go and nurse this baby while the baby is lying there and the mother is not moving the baby, but the mother is allowed to do this for her own benefit, mimneha sakana, because it's dangerous for her. Rashi explains, mimnei shechol of harbe, because there's a lot of milk in her breast, and as a result, she's going to be in danger if she doesn't go and express this milk. So the baby can suckle on this milk, and that's allowed. And Mivil de Choli, right? Says if she doesn't do this, she'll get a mastitis, she'll get some sort of a sickness. Tosus in Dibur Maskil Mipnei Sakonas says a similar idea. He says, Sakonas Cholov Kishiesh Harbi Bedad. He says there's a danger to this woman if she has a lot of milk in her breast, and we're not concerned. Lo Chashina Shema Tataltal Oso, and we're not concerned, therefore, that she'll go and move the baby. She's allowed to do this, Tosu says, just because of the tzar. Doesn't have to even be in pikuach nefashos. And just because she has tzar, you're allowed to go and do this. Just like he says, we're allowed to express pus from a pimple on Shabbos. So too, you're allowed to go and have the mother nurse the baby in this situation. Gemara continues and says, Itmar, we learn, Rav says we pass like the Tanakama in yesterday's shir at the very top of this amud, and Shmuel says we pass it like Rav Shimon Elazar in yesterday's shir at the top of this amud. What is that machlokas? Just to remind ourselves. So this is if a baby is born mohol. A baby is born without a foreskin. It was already circumcised naturally. It didn't have a foreskin. So the Tanakama's opinion is that you're not allowed to do a bris milah. We don't even do hatofas dam bris on such a baby on Shabbos. It's not docha Shabbos. This is the suffix type situation. It's not vaday or loso. And therefore, you don't do hatofas dam bris on this baby on Shabbos. That's a simple statement of the Braisa. But then the Braisa says that this statement is actually a machlokas. And the opinion that says that you don't do hatofas dam bris on a baby on Shabbos is only the opinion of Beis Hillel. But Beis Shammai says, tzorech la'atif minu dam bris, and it was Beis Hillel who say, you don't have to do ein tzorech la'atif minu dam bris. So that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. And along comes Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says, no. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, no. That's not the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. They both agree. Al no la shumo, tzorech la'atif minu dam bris. You definitely have to do hatofas dam bris on a baby that was born circumcised. You need to bring the baby into the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by doing hatofas dam bris. Because there definitely is an Arla here, it's just an Arla Kavusha. That's what we learned yesterday. It's somehow crushed, it's somehow pushed down that you don't see it, but it's there. So what are Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai arguing about? They're arguing about a ger shenis gaya. We said a ger, a person who comes to convert, so he had a real circumcision. His Arla was definitely removed while he was a non-Jew, and now he's coming to be Miskaya. Do you have to do Hatovas Dam Bris? In that situation, Beis Shammai says you do Hatovas Dam Bris, and Beis Hillel will say you don't have to do Hatovas Dam Bris. So, now we understand all Gemara. Rav Paskins like the Tanakhama that says only Beis Shammai says that you have to do Hatovas Dam Bris. Beis Hillel says you never have to do Hatovas Dam Bris because he holds it's not an Arla Kvusha. And the opinion of Shmuel is no. The Halachas of Shimon Elazar that in fact Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai both agree that it's an Arla Kvusha and you have to do Hatovas Dam Bris. And then where are they having their argument? That has to do with the Gerush and this guy. So this is our understanding of the Gemara over here, that Rav holds like the opinion of the Tanakhama, and Shmuel holds like the opinion of Rishim ben Elazar, in terms of when is this machlokis of Hatovas Dam Bris between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Now we have a Maisa Shohaya, said Maisa Shohaya, Rav Adav Rava, Isyalud Lehau Yenuka. Rav Adav Rava had a baby boy born, and this baby boy was born without an Arla. Kishumol, he was already born circumcised, and this was on Shabbos, Rashi tells us. What he wanted to do is Hatovas Dam Bris on Shabbos. Ahadre Atleisar Meholoi. He went to find somebody that was willing to go do Hatovas Dam Bris on Shabbos. He went to 13 different Moalim, and he was unable to find a single Moal who was willing to do this Hatovas Dam Bris for his son. As Rashi says, Ahadre Atleisar Meholoi, Shiyatifu Mimenu Dam Bris, below Ratsu, but none of the Moalim wanted to do so. Mishum de Shabbos Havoi. And they hold, Va'afilu Lebe Shammai Sofeku Vimchalim. They hold that even Beis Shammai who says you require Hatovas Dam Bris is only when you have it during a weekday, but not on Shabbos. So nobody, he couldn't find the Moal that was willing to do this. And Paskin, like he did, that you in fact have to do the Bris Mila on Shabbos of Hatovas Dam Bris, even if it was born Moal. So what happened? He did the Mila himself. And what happened? Adishabi Krush Shavcha. And he, unfortunately, caused the baby to become a Krush Shavcha. As Rashi explains, he took off too much. Rashi says, Fu'atzmamalu, he himself did the Bris Mila. V'yaso Krush Shavcha, Shechotach Minagid. He cut off Nebuch too much of the area, and he caused the child to be a Krush Shavcha, emasculated. Now, whole discussion in the postgame as to why Rav Adav Rava didn't do the Bris Mila originally. If he was an expert mohel, only an expert mohel is allowed to do a Mila on Shabbos, because otherwise it could be a Chavola, so then why didn't he do the Mila originally? So it's all interesting discussion as to maybe a father shouldn't do a Bris Mila on his own son. We had a little bit of this discussion the other day, because he has other Kavanos. In terms of, for example, he wants to be mesaking his son to make him perfect, to bring him into the bris of Avraham Avinu, whereas the other person is just doing the bris mila. So maybe there are some posts that say that a non-father is preferable to do the bris mila on Shabbos. Others suggest, no, that maybe Rava just wasn't an expert moel, and that's why he didn't want to do the mila until nobody else was willing to do it. He says, okay, I know how to do a bris mila, I'll do the bris mila. In any event, he was very upset, obviously, and he said, Omar, Taisi Li, the Ari Yad Rav, it's my fault for bringing this terrible situation on my child, because I went against the word of Rav. Because Rav, he said, passing like the Tanakhama, and said that Beis Hillel says, you never do a Tatofas Dam Bris, and therefore, why did I go against Rav? That's why, Nebuch, I'm in this situation. Amalei Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman said to him, and you just went against Rav, by Shmuel lo avar, you didn't go against the opinion of Shmuel, you went against the opinion of Shmuel also. Because when did Shmuel say, hey, Madiyamah Shmuel, when Shmuel paskin over here like Rav Shimon Elazar, and says that everybody requires hatafas ba'am bris, that's not the machlokes be'sila be'shamai, that's on a weekday. Hey, Madiyamah Shmuel b'chol, where Shmuel says that everybody, be'sila be'shamai, say you do hatafas dam bris, that's on a weekday. B'shabas mi'omar, where do you find that even Shmuel says that you do hatafas dam bris on Shabbos? So therefore, Rav Ado bar Rava was incorrect, even according to Shmuel. Not only did he go against Rav, he seemed to go against Shmuel. So Gemara says, no. Rav Ado bar Rava said he only went against Rav because who saw bar Vaday or Lekvushahi? He held that both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai say that you have to do Hatavas Dam Bris on a weekday. That's because it's Vaday that you have to do this, because it's definitely an Or Lekvusha. And therefore, on Shabbos, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai would say, since it's a Vaday Orla and it's the eighth day, you definitely do a bris. So according to Shmuel, he wasn't going against Shmuel, he was going like Shmuel. Shmuel would pass it that if you need to do Hatavas Dam Bris on a weekday because it's a Chiyah, because of Vaday Orla, same Chiyah would apply on the eighth day if it was Shabbos. So therefore, Rav Ado Rava only thought he went against the opinion of Rav. Gemara is now going to say that he was correct. Rav Ado bar Rava was correct in his understanding of Shmuel because of the following. The Itmar. Rabba Omar, because Rabba told us, Chayshinon Shem Orlok Vushi. Rabba's opinion is that there's a machokis over here. Is this Orlok Vushi or not? But Rav Yosef Omar, and this is the opinion that Rav Ado bar Rava held Shmuel holds from, Rav Yosef says that it's definitely Vaday Orlok Vushi according to both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Therefore, it's a Vaday need for Hatavas Dam Bris. Now, how does he know this? Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Mino Aminala. How do I know that they both hold that it's Vaday Orlok Kvusha and that it definitely requires Hatavas Dam Bris? So, the Tanya. That's because of the following brisa. Rabbi Eliezer HaKapor Omer, Tosus understands it's just like we had our Tanakama and then Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So this brisa also has a Tanakama, which we doesn't mention over here in our Gemara, and then it has the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer HaKapor. So he says as follows, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer HaKapor Omer, L'nechel gubei shamei v'tzil, alno l'shgumo. Everybody says that they still in the Shammai, they hold that a child who's born Mohu requires Shitzorich Latifi Min HaDambris, definitely needs Hatavas Dambris. Amal Nechleku, only where do they argue? That is Beferish L'Chalal of HaShabbos. They argue, does this Hatavas Dambris, which is mandatory on a weekday because it's a Vaday or L'Kvusha, also negate doing the Bris Mila on Shabbos or not? Hatavas Dambris on Shabbos or not? Beshami Omrim, no, Mechalal on Shabbos. Beshami says you do Mechalal on Shabbos. Ubeisil Omrim, ain't Mechalal on Shabbos. And Beisil says you don't. Now, from the fact that according to Rabbi Elazar Kapar, they're arguing about on Shabbos, can you do this? It implies, Lab Miklal, the Tanakhama of Mechalal on Shabbos, that the opinion of the unstated Tanakhama over here is that Beisil and Beshami both Vaday say that you have to do Hatavas Dambris on Shabbos, and that is the opinion that Rav Ado bar Rava is saying he understood Shmuel as holding like this Tanakama, and therefore there would be no problem in doing Hatovas Dam Bris on this child that was born Mo, because it was Vaday Orla Kvusha, and the Tanakama holds that both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai say that it requires Hatovas Dam Bris even on Shabbos. Versus maybe not. Maybe the Tanakama doesn't hold that Diriyakol that you are Machal Shabbos. Maybe the Tanakama says that Diriyakol you're not Machal Shabbos in this situation. It doesn't require Hatavas Dam Bris. Where it says, no, that can't be. Imkain, if that were the case, so then what is Rabbi Elazar HaKapor coming to do? The Tanakama says, everybody says you don't need Hatavas Dam Bris on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do Hatavas Dam Bris on Shabbos. And along comes Rabbi Elazar HaKapor, and Taimud Beis Shammai Yasa, he's coming to tell us the Chiddush that Beis Shammai says that you're required to do Hatavas Dam Bris, and Beis Hillel says you don't have to do Hatavas Dam Bris. So all he's really coming to do is to teach us the opinion of Beis Shammai. That's unlikely that he would do this. So Gemara says, no, maybe not. Still, we can argue over here that the Tanakhama is saying something else other than what Rav Ado bar Rava claims he's stating. Maybe this is what the Tanakhama is really saying. Tanakhama is saying, that they don't have such a machlokas. In fact, they both hold nobody's allowed to do a Hatavas Dam Bris on a baby that was born mole on Shabbos. So we don't have a riot to Rav Ado bar Rava's understanding of Shmuel that he holds like the Tanakama, because maybe the Tanakama doesn't actually hold that you do a Hatavas Dam Bris on a baby that was born mole on Shabbos. The Gemara continues and says, I'm Ravasi. Ravasi tells us, now the Girsa on the side says this isn't just Ravasi. The Girsa on the side tells us that this should be Amar Rabba, Amar Ravasi. And he says the following, Kol she'imo t'mei aleida, any woman who is capable of becoming t'mei aleida, when she gives birth, she gets a tumah For a boy, it's 7 days. For a girl, it's 14 days. And then you have the 33 days of Tara for a boy and the 66 days of Tara for a girl after the birth of a girl. So any woman who can have this status of being Tmeya Leida, so then such a woman is Nimo L'shmona. That baby boy that's born at the 8th day is on Shabbos, so then that child is allowed and mechuyif to have the bris on Shabbos and it's docha Shabbos. However, if a woman gives birth and doesn't have Tumas Leida, Rashi will explain in a moment how this could occur, then that bris doesn't get done on the 8th day if it's Shabbos. Rashi says, kosh eini motmeya leida, kigon, for example, yotze dofen, a woman who gives birth via cesarean section. So that technically doesn't give her a leida that's taken out from her abdominal cavity. The baby's taken out through the cesarean section and not through the normal derech, and therefore that is not considered tmeya leida, as we'll see from the pasuk. Likewise, v'nachris, a Gentile woman, she'olda, who gives birth, u l'machar nizgaira, and then the next day, she converts. So she has a one-day-old baby that converts with her, and that one-day-old baby, ein b'noam mamtin ad shmona, that baby doesn't need a bris mila on the 8th day, ela nimo miyat, you're allowed to go do the bris mila on day 2. You're allowed to do that. That's not a problem. So these are women that don't have tumas leida. That's what Rabba says in the name of Rav Asi. What is it based on? Shnema, because the pasuk says, "Isha ki sazuya v'yolda zochar v'tama shivas yamim," etc. V'gomer. So the woman who gives birth and then she becomes tmeya, and then the pasuk says, "V'yomish mina yimol b'sar l'so," connecting the two: a woman who gives birth and becomes tmeya, only that baby is going to be mild on the 8th day automatically, no matter what, even if it's Shabbos. Gemara says not everybody agrees with this. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says to Rabba, in the name of Rav Asi, he says, I don't understand. Doris Rishon Yochichu. Look at all the generations. Rashi says, Me Avram Admat in Torah. Avram Avinu was Mitzuvah to go do a Bris Mila. And all the Jewish people did Bris Mila from the time of Avram Avinu up until Matan Torah. So none of them had Dinim of Tumim and Tara. So how can you tell me the two are connected? Shein Imo Tmeya Leida. There was no Tumas Leida from Avram Avinu until Matan Torah, at least officially, Venimo Lishmona. And yet all the babies, it says, had Bris Mila on the 8th day. So the two aren't connected. That's what Abaye questions Rabba Amar Rav Asi. So Amalei, Rabba Amar Rav Asi would respond back to him. Once the Torah is given, Nitna Torah, then we turn to the Amud Beis, V'nischatcho halacha. So then this new halacha goes into effect. Rashi says, Demish, imo tmeya leida, nimo b'ches, below acher. Only a woman who has tumas leida, their child, her child, is going to be requiring a bris milah on the 8th day, and it's docha Shabbos. Before that, this wasn't applicable, but now, at the time of Matan Torah, this din comes into play. Mara really questions this again. Ini, really? Voyantmar, but we learned, yotze dofen, a child that is born via cesarean section, and as well, a child, umi, sheyesh lo shtei orlos, or a child is born with 2 orlos. Rashi has 2 possibilities over here. Shnei orozel zeh. The first possibility is that it's like 1 orlo on top of another orla. We're not sure which is the real orla. One of them is the real orla, and the other one is something that looks like an orla, but it's not the real orla. Others say, no, v'ami lo shnei gidin. There's a child that's born with 2 penises, a child that's born with 2 gidin. So there's 2 orlas, 1 orla on this one and 1 orla on that one. So therefore, in these situations where a child is either born from a cesarean section or has shtei orlos, so then we have a machlokes. In this situation, Rav Huna and Rav Chiya Barav, Rav Huna and Rav Chiya Barav say the following 2 statements. We don't know which one to attribute to which one. So one of them said, we don't know if it's Rav Huna or Rav Chiya Barav, Chad Omar, one of them said, Mechalim, it's a Shabbos, if this baby is going to be having its bris mila on the 8th day, that's Shabbos, you can do the bris mila, even though it's a Yotzi Dofen or Shtei Orlos. Chad Omar, the other one said, no, you don't do a bris mila on this child on the 8th day. Now, they're arguing over here, Ad kan lo pligi el l'chalav is a Shabbos. The only arguing over here between them, the machlok is between Rav Huna and Rav Chiya Barav, is one said you machal Shabbos to do a bris mila on the 8th day, and the other one said you don't. It seems to be, however, avo l'shmona, whether it's done on the 8th day or can you do it earlier, vaday malinale, that is no machlokes. On the 8th day, they both agree. So this has nothing to do with Tumas Leida, obviously, because Yotzi Dofen doesn't have Tumas Leida, as we said. So therefore, it must be that you're wrong, Rabbo Amar Rav Asi. So Gemara says, no. Ha b'ha taya. The two are interrelated. One is going to determine the other. So for example, if you say over here that it's Docha Shabbos, so then it means it's done on the 8th day. And if you hold it's not Docha Shabbos, it means it's not done on the 8th day. That's why it's not Docha Shabbos. So therefore, this machlokes, Rav Huna and Rav Chiya Barav, is perfectly in accord. One of the opinions is perfectly in accord with Rabbo Amar Rav Asi. And this is in fact Kitanoi. This is not only a machlokas of these Amoraim over here, Rav Huna and Rav Chiya Barav and Rabba Amravasi with his Balei Plukta, but also this is machlokas Tanoim, as we see from the following brisa. There's a little bit of a complicated brisa, but it really isn't as complicated as it sounds on first read. In any event, the Raisa says, Yesh lid bayis shnimo liachor, yesh lid bayis shnimo lishmona. So we have to learn two concepts over here. There's a yilid bayis and miknas kesef. These are the psukim in the Torah. Yilid bayis is a servant that is born in your household, and miknas kesef is a servant that you bought. We'll see in a moment that the difference is all between these two. Both of them require a bris mila if you want to make them into the status of an eved knani. Now, there is this yidlid bias that has a bris mila done on day one, meaning it doesn't have to be done on day eight. It can be done day one, day two. You can do it as early as you want. Yeshlid bias, shnimol shmona. And then there are other yidlid bias that have their bris mila badafka on the eighth day. Likewise, yesh miknas kesef shmil lecha. There are those that you purchase with money that have their bris mila on day one. You could have it on day one, even of their life. And the yesh miknas kesef, there are those servants that you can purchase that would require to have a bris mila shnimol shmona on the eighth day of their life. Now, what are these examples? There are four categories here. Yilid Bayis, day one or day eight, and Miknas Kesef, day one or day eight. So what are the categories? Yesh Miknas Kesef, Shenimol, Liechod, Yesh Miknas Kesef, Shenimol, Shmona, Ketzad. So we'll first discuss the Miknas Kesef. It's interesting, sometimes we have this pattern. We have what I call A, B, B, A. We mentioned possibility of A with two sides, and we mentioned the possibility here of B with two sides. First, we mentioned Yilid Bayis with the two sides, then we mentioned Miknas Kesef with the two sides, and first we're going to discuss the Miknas Kesef. Again, that's a style that the Gemara uses. Sometimes it does A, B, A, B. Different styles, different times. So, what are the examples of the Miknas Kesef that has a bris mila on day one, and the Miknas Kesef that has a bris mila on day eight? So, the Braisa continues and says, L'kach shivcha mu'uberes. If you went and took a shivcha that was pregnant already, and the achakach yolda, so she belongs to you before the birth, and then the child is born while she already is your purchase, your miknas kesef. So then in this situation, zeu miknas kesef hanimo l'shmona, this child would wait till the eighth day to have the bris mila. However, lo kach shivcha, if you purchase the shivcha, uvlo du'ima, she'd already given birth, so you purchase both of them, so this one, you're making this little child into your Eved Kenani, zoi miknas kesef, shimo liachod, this is a purchase that you can do the bris mila on right away. Oh, that takes care of that aspect when you can have a miknas kesef on day one, or miknas kesef on day eight. Then we go to the yilid bayis. Yesh lid bayis shimo l'shmona. Here we're only going to have the yilid bayis for shmona. We're going to not have the yilid bayis for day one, which the Gemara will question later on. So he says here, V'yesh lid bayish nimol shmona, ketzad. How do we have a situation where you can have a yilid bayis that's born in your house and you do the bris mila on the eighth day? That's simple. Lo kach shivcha v'nisabru etzlo v'yoldo. This is a straightforward case where you purchased the shivcha, she was giving birth in nisnabru etzlo, so she was already now your yilid bayis. This became pregnant when you already had her as your shivcha, and then the yolda, and then she gave birth when she was already your shivcha. So zeh yilid bayis hanimol shmona. This is a regular classical case where your servant became pregnant. She was already your servant at the time she became pregnant, and she gives birth when she's still your servant. So this is a classical case of the bris mila done on the eighth day. Yilid bayis on the eighth day. Now, we do not give, according to the Tanna Kamma, how you have a yilid bayis on day one. And the Gemara will question this in a few moments. But meanwhile, we have the machlokas tanoim. We said this is ketanoi. This was the Tanna Kamma's opinion. Now we have the Tanna Rav Chama. He's referred to over here as Rav Chama. The Rabbeinu Chananel over here, towards the bottom of the daf, in my Gemara, it's three lines from the bottom, and the Rabbeinu Chananel says that there are sometimes, afal gav de tanoi, you know, even though he is a Tanna, and normally Tanoim are referred to as Rabbi Chama, Rabbi so-and-so the Tana. Here, he's referred to as Rab. And he says there are three places that you find this situation where a Tana is referred to just as Rab. They were Tanoim who lived in Babel and didn't get Smicha in Eretz Yisrael. The only time that they gave you officially Smicha was in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, even though they were Tanoim, they didn't officially get Smicha, and therefore they're called Rab rather than Rabbi. It's interesting, if you look in Tosos, in the top Tosos, he says Kitanoi, he calls him Rabbi Chama. So maybe he didn't have the girsa that Rabbeinu Chananel had, or Gemara has, that it's Rab Chama. He called him Rabbi Chama because he was a Tana. In any event, this Tana, Rab or Rabbi Chama, Omer, he disagrees. He says the following. He says, if you want, Yoldovi Achakachit Bila, he says, the example of the woman who gave birth and then she went to the mikvah, that's an example of Yilid Bayis. She is in your house already, and she wasn't yet having undergone the tefillah to become a full shivcha kenanis. So therefore, in this situation, this is zehu yilid bayis shlim alechad. Here's the example of where the yilid bayis is able to have the bris milah on day one. However, if she went to the mikveh tefillah, so now she's a full-fledged shivcha kenanis, and then she gives birth, so that's the situation. So Bichama agrees with the Tanakhama for the Miknas Kesef, but he has a differentiation over here for the Yalid Bayis, how you have day one and day eight, possible circumcisions. So now the Gemara goes back and says, the Tanakhama, no, why doesn't the Tanakhama hold like Rabbi Chama? Rabbi Chama obviously argues with the Tanakhama, so what does the Tanakhama do with this argument? So the Tanakhama says, Lo Shonila, he doesn't make any distinction, whether this woman who is already your Yalid Boyis, she's in your house, and whether she is over here going to the mikvah and then gives birth, or Ben Yolda, she first gave birth, and Achakach hit Bilud goes to the mikvah, it doesn't make any difference. The Alpha God, the Einimo Tmeh Leda, even though there is no Tumas Leda over here, in the second case where she was Yolda, Va'achakach hit Bilud, she wasn't yet a Shivcha Kananis, so she doesn't have the Dinam of Tumah and Tara, so Alpha God, the Einimo Tmeh Leda in this situation, Nimo Lishmona, you have the Brismila on Shmona. Oh, so Rav Chama is in fact disagreeing with Rabba Amar Ravasi. And the Tanakhama, Mistama, holds like Rabba Amar Ravasi. That's why Kitanoi. This is Machlokas Tanoim. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rava is the Gisa we have, but it's deleted. It's in parentheses. So many are Mochek Zeh. They delete this. And in fact, they just say, this works out great. Bishlama le Rabbi Chama or le Rav Chama. Again, whether you hold that, like the Tosos, he's called Rabbi Chama, like the Rabbi Chanan or Gisa, it's Rav Chama. Bishlama le Rav Chama, Mishkachas lo Yilid Bayis Nimo Liachot. Here we have an example of Yilid Bayis that has a Bris Milah on day one, and we have Yilid Bayis Nimo Lishmona, and Yilid Bayis that has the Bris Milah on day eight. And he had the same idea as the Tanakhama for the Miknas Kesef. Miknas Kesef Nimo Liachot, Miknas Kesef Nimo Lishmona. So the examples of these four scenarios are as follows. Yoldo v'yachakachid bila, we just gave all of these, so now we're just reiterating them. So if the woman gave birth and then she went to the mikvah, v'it bila, so then zeh yilid bayis nimo liachot. As we just said, that's when you have the bris milah right away. Hit bila, if she first went to the mikvah and then achakach yoldo, so then that's a yilid bayis nimo lishmona. That's a regular classical case of day eight. And the miknas kesef, we had already explained before. Miknas kesef nimo lishmona, how is that? Kigon shaloch kach shivcha miuberes. You bought a woman who was already pregnant, v'it bila, and she became a shivcha kinanis before she gives birth, v'achakach yoldo. So this is a classical case where you do the bris milah on day eight, and miknas kesef nimo liachot, when do you have this? Now Rashi points out, we could have just said, kigon shaloch kach shivcha miuberes, v'achakach yoldo, and then it bila. So that would be the case, but Rashi says, we want to give a bigger chiddush over here. What is the miknas kesef nimo liachot? It even would be, kigon shaloch kach zeh shivcha v'zeh ubra. If two people purchased this woman, one purchased the shivcha, and one purchases the right to the ubra. In this situation, also, since it's not from the same mother, so to say, the ownership is not the same, the miknas kesef is not the same mother, so this would be an example where you can do the shmila on day one. You don't have to wait till day eight. So everything works out fine over here for Rabbi Chama, Rav Chama. But as we already pointed out before, Tanakhama, we had three of the four. Bishlamo kulu mishkachas lu. We had the miknas kesef day one, day eight. We had the yilid bayis day eight. Ella yilid bayis nimo liachod hechem mishkachas lu. He didn't make the distinction between the tefillah before the baby's born or after the baby's born. He holds it, it's all one and the same. So it's all on day eight. So what does the Tanakhama do for yilid bayis who's nimo on day one? He doesn't seem to have a case to that. So Rav Yirmiyah says, yes, he does. We're talking about Belokeach Shivcholi Ubra. It's when the person just purchased the fetus while it was still inside the mother, but he didn't purchase the mother. So therefore, he only owns the fetus. So therefore, this is not a case of where the fetus and the mother, the baby and the mother go together. And therefore, in that situation, it's not on day eight. It can be even day one. So Mara says, that's only good if you hold a certain shita. This teretz of Rav Yirmiyah is fine. Hanicha, if you hold Laman the Omar Kinyan Peros Lavka Kinyan Guftami. This is a famous machlokas in Mishlokas Rav Yochanan that we have throughout Shas, and that is where the Kinyan Peros, when you purchase the rights to something, what's called the usufruction rights, when you purchase the rights to the Peros, let's say the tree, so are you considered an owner or you're not considered an owner? Do you have a Kinyan in the guf of the tree or not? You have the rights to the Peros, that's indisputable. But are you considered a part owner in the tree? So one opinion says, if you have the rights to the peiros, so that has nothing to do with the tree. Lavka kinyan aguftami, you don't own anything about the tree. And that would be great if you say over here that you purchased the uber, but you don't have any relationship with the mother, so therefore the uber and the mother are separate. When the uber and the mother are separate, so then the bris milah can be done on day one. So this would be a perfect example of yelid bayis hanimo liyachod, if you hold like the sheet that it says, kinyan aperos, lavka kinyan aguftami. But if you hold Eleman Dioma Kinyan Peros Ke Kinyan Guf Dami, that your purchasing of the fruits gives you, so to say, the guf of the fruits, you own the fruits, you have more of a kinyan. So if you purchase the uber, you also own the mother, so then it should be on day 8. Ma'ikul Meimar, how come this is a Yilid Bayis, a Nimo Liachot? There should be a Yilid Bayis, Hanimo Lishmona. So that's the Kasha on Rav Yirmiyahu's Teretz. So where it says, you're right, Taka, we don't have a good answer for the opinion that says kinyan aperos kinyan aguf dami. So therefore, Amar Rav Mesharsha, Rav Mesharsha gives a different teretz. He says, you know what we're talking about? Belokeach shivcha amenash lo lapila. It's you're purchasing this woman with her uber, but you're saying she's not going to be a shivcha kananis. I'm not purchasing her to turn her into a shivcha kananis. She's just going to be a servant, but not a shivcha kananis with all the things that go with that. Therefore, in this situation, the uber and the mother aren't in the same category, and therefore, in such a situation, this is a Yelid Bayis that's Nimoli Echod. That concludes this discussion about Miknas Kesef and Yelid Bayis, how, according to both the Tanakama and Rav Chama, with some Machlokis Tanoim over here, that patterns the Machlokis that we had with the Amoroyim. Nanigmor says, in general, how are you ever allowed to do a Bris Milah? Period, on anybody. Tanya, the Brisa says, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Sheshah Shloshim Yom. If you waited 30 days for a child after its birth, in that situation, Kol Sheshah Shloshim Yom B'yodam, Eino Nefil. By definition, the child survived 30 days, it's called a viable child. Before that, unfortunately, lav davka, that it's considered a viable child. It's a suffix that it's a viable child or not, and therefore, you have to wait till day 30 to do a pidgin aben. That's why we do a pidgin aben, only on a viable child, so you have to wait till day 30. Where do we learn this from? Shenema, because the puzzle says, upu du yav, you do a pidgin aben, mi ben chodesh did that, when the child is viable, at 30 days. Oh, very good. Similarly, by the animals. Shmonis yom behema inu nefo. You're not allowed to bring an animal as a carbon before day 8 because it still might be considered not viable. By the animals, it's day 8. By humans, it's day 30. When do we learn this from? Shenema, the pasuk says, yom ha'shmini v'hala yerotzeh l'korban ishei Hashem. So that's the Vagomer. So you're allowed to go and bring, in this situation, the animal after 8 days. At 8 days, it's considered viable. Again, 30 days by human, 8 days by an animal, based upon psukim. Now, based upon this, the Gemara says, Holo Shah, therefore, until you wait 30 days, Sveikavi, maybe this baby's not viable. And if the baby's not viable, we turn to the other Aleph, Mimael Hechi Malinon. How are you allowed to do a bris milah on a non-viable child? Now, on a weekday, it's not such a big deal. But on a Shabbos, if you're not mechuyev to do a bris milah because it's a non-viable child, so then you're not allowed to do the bris milah. So how could you ever do a bris milah on an 8-day-old child on Shabbos? That's the question. Very basic question, because this goes against halacha. So obviously there's an answer to it. So I'm a Rav Ado Rava. He says, no, not a problem at all, because malin also mimanushach. Mimanushach, no matter which way you go, it's a viable child or not a viable child, you have no problems in being mild the child on Shabbos. Because in chayu, if it's in fact a viable child, so Shabbos kumayel, oh, you did the mitzvah of being mild the child on the 8th day, as you're supposed to. And nebuch, v'im lav, if it's not a viable child, so then what did you do? The child, as we said before, is like ke'evin, like kemes, and you didn't do anything. Mechatech basu, it's no different than cutting a slice of meat. Rachman litzlan, this baby is considered a dead baby if it's not viable, and therefore, the bris milah that you did is no issa melacha of chavala, because the child isn't a bar chavala. The child's not capable of having a chavala done to it because it's a non-viable child. That's the mimanushach. If it's viable, you did a good bris milah. If it's not viable, you didn't do melacha. That's how you'll have to be moral, a regular child, on the 8th day of its Shabbos. Gemara says, wait a second, Beloha de Tanya, but we learned in the Braisa we had earlier in the Shia today, Safek ben Shiva, Safek ben Shimona, if a child is not sure if it's a 7-month child, which is viable, as we said, or an 8-month child, which is not viable. So, Eimach Halilu is a Shabbos. You're not allowed to go do a bris milah on this child on Shabbos. So, why not? Based upon what you just said, Amai, Nimale, Mimanushach, we should say the same Mimanushach over here. You should be allowed to be more of the child, because Imchayu, if in fact this Safek 7, Safek 8 was really 7, so Shabbos Kamo, you did a bris milah, no problem, on a 7-month child on the 8th day. You did the mitzvah. No chavala, no issa Shabbos. And Rachmana Lassan, if this is a non-viable child, it really was an 8-month child, and therefore there was no allowance to do the bris milah on Shabbos because it's not a viable child. So what did you do? As we just said, all you did was cut some meat. You didn't do any Issa Shabbos of Chavallah because it's a non-viable child. So why don't we apply the same imanushach to the Safik ben Shiva, Safik ben Shmona, that you're saying we apply to every eight-day-old baby? Shmona says, no, that's not a good reasoning. It's a nice try, but no cigar. Amabre de Ravina, Mar, the son of Ravina, said, I know, I, the Rav Nechumi Bar Zechaya, and my colleague, Rav Nechumi Bar Zechaya, we both explained this, Targimna, we gave the Targum on this, we explained this as dealing with Mimal Hochanami Malle. There was actually no problem. We said, Safi ben Shiva, Safi ben Shmona, Eim Chalim Sa Shabbos, it didn't mean you can't do the Bris Mila. You could do the Bris Mila, but you needed to tell me over here, Lo Nitzucha, this was needed to tell me Eim Chalim Sa Shabbos, according to the opinion, Aliba, the Rabbi Eliezer, the famous Rabbi Eliezer the Mila, who says you can do the Machshire Mila on Shabbos. So the Bris Mila, that's not a malacha if the child's not viable. That's just cutting meat. And if the child is viable, it really was Safik ben Sheva, Safik ben Shmona, it really was a ben Sheva, and you had to do bris mila, you did the bris mila. So again, the mimanushach works on the mila, but the mimanushach would not work on the makshiri mila. How could you heat up the coals and say that that's allowed? You weren't doing the mitzvah bris mila. Here there is an isser. It's not mechatek basar. Here there's a real isser daraisa. So that's why you need this, according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that says that in general, makshiri mila are allowed, but makshiri mila would not be allowed. Ein chalulas haShabbos for the Safik ben Shiva, Safik ben Shmona. With this, we conclude today's shiur.